There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What does it mean when your throat turns to blood?
Yeah.
That's fun. That's what you want.
I mean, usually the consumption. You're going to die like an Irishman.
I thought it was love was in the air.
Yeah, it's possible.
Love is in the air.
I'm all right,
every
ready to
time
go.
Yeah. I look around.
That's Marcus. I'm Ben. And then we got over there to the guy to the left.
All-American Henry Zebrowski. It's May 1st. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday, Henry Zebrowski.
Happy birthday.
We found out that it's the second most important Illuminati holiday today that definitely involves human sacrifice. Because
no doubt.
You gotta
do it.
Also, we got the maypole thing, which there's nothing I like better than a big, long stick in a field. All the little boys and the girls are wrapping their ribbons around a big old stick. Mm-hmm. And they just want to climb up it. Oh, mommy, can I get it in my mouth?
I mean, I don't know. I don't understand. How the stick ejaculate?
Is that what the maypole ceremony is?
Usually it's a bunch of fat, naked chicks just dancing around a pole.
I'm there.
This is the second anniversary. Now, why is it the second most important day for the Illuminati?
It's the end of the winter equinox.
I see.
Spring equinox.
It's the end of the spring equinox? I think it's the beginning of the spring equinox.
Is it?
I think, though, the end of spring is near, my friend. Although
it's a naked chick holiday.
No. Spring, the equinox is just the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the spring equinox is just fairly short.
Well, either way, if you're going to kill today because the Illuminati will be
happy. Because
it's
extra special, it gets extra report. I mean, you're not going to listen to this podcast today, but if you were, just know, I just hope you're at home doing something bad.
Yeah, that's
I mean, it's the highest day of the Druidic Witches calendar. And it's also called Walpurgis Night.
Yeah.
Ooh, Walpurgis Night.
Another fat chick holiday.
Oh, definitely.
I love them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm one of them. I consider myself an honorary fat lady today.
Ah, yes.
And let me ask you, Andrew, did you do your fire sacrifice on April 19th?
Well, I mean, I made some eggs.
That'll work.
That's fine.
All right. So go out there and murder, and goes well with today's topic. We're going to dip our feet into the serial killer game again, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so excited.
Love serial killer episodes.
So today's episode came off of a specific story that Marcus sent me it's pretty wonderful. Today's topic is serial killers who think there are vampires.
It happens.
And it's like, if you look on the internet, literally, after this story, I just Google searched serial killers who think they are vampires. It's like a million hits.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they all think they're vampires.
Sure, why not?
But some of them are more specific than the other ones, just because they love to just, like, get up in an abdomen and, like, slurp up the blood.
Are we blaming the Twilight franchise and things like that on this? Is there a new resurgence?
No.
Is the vampire hip? Is the vampire
cool? That
is
an insult.
I don't
when
know.
You
Let
hear
the right
these
one
stories,
in. Very popular movie.
If Robert Pattinson met Richard Templeton Chase, he would not have a penis anymore. That's for certain. And he definitely would fucking cut open his stomach and play with his guts a whole bunch.
Yeah.
He'd pop out his eyes.
So he's a different kind of vampire.
Also, what you're going to find with specific vampire killings is that are disorganized killers, not organized killers, like on the whole.
You would think they would be more organized.
No. They like to get in. They like to play with the blood. And the other thing is I was watching a really interesting interview with a criminologist who was also saying there's a twofold school on serial killers that are also like some are act-based and some are process-based.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them just like the urge, like once they're done killing.
So what's an act-based serial killer?
Act-based is just someone who kills somebody and then that's it. The big thrill wasn't killing them.
Oh, okay.
And then process-based is someone who likes, you know, makes the body into like a marionette puppet and plays with its balls for an hour. One of the ones, yeah, you're like wears the head as a mask and like walks around, goes to 7-Eleven and be like, I'd like a pack of cigarettes because he quit a year ago, but the head says that he could smoke again.
He's the kind of guy who would put a dress on a chihuahua.
Yes.
You know, he just likes to dress him up and
people
play around with the dolls.
Dogs to parades.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people own dogs, but not all of them dress them like Audrey Hepburn for Halloween. Breakfast at Tiffany's.
She's beautiful.
I love that dog. All right, so do we want to get in with Mr. Cross? Or do we want to start with him?
I want to start with the story that Marcus. Let's do the story that Marcus sent that started the whole thing.
Okay.
Yes, and his name is Marcus Wesson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the connection's made.
And he is a large black man, as people named Marcus should be.
Yeah.
That's true.
People named Marcus should not be skinny white men.
I don't know. I think that skinny white men could be named anything they want because we took this country.
That's a different program, everybody. It's not. That's a different show.
Yeah, and come on, Henry. We skinny white men. You're not part of the club.
No.
Yeah.
I'm special in this room.
Marcus Jordan Parks.
Yes.
And a little bit more African-American sounding.
Yes, it is. So Marcus Wesson, he was a David Koresh type of guy, but on a very small scale.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Literally 6 inches tall. He's a wee one. Yeah.
He was actually...
If you could hear me, you would believe what I'm saying to you. If you could just hear me up there. You wouldn't believe me.
Hey, could you drop like a little bit of that English muffin?
Just a small crumb.
God, I'm hungry.
Well, in fact, he was described in many of the accounts that I read of him as corpulent.
Okay.
So he's fat.
Yeah, 300 pounds.
He must have been celebrating May Day.
Yeah.
His girlfriends. Come at me, girls.
Well, no girls wanted to be with him.
His girlfriends were his children.
Okay, so he had sex with his children.
He had sex with all of his children, well, all of the daughters at the very least. His connection to vampires was that he was a big Christian, a gigantic Christian. However, he did write his own homemade Bible that involved Jesus Christ being a vampire.
He loved vampires. He put vampires into the Bible story.
All right, I can see that working though.
And he said the connection between Jesus Christ and vampiras is that they are both immortal, therefore they're the same.
Beautiful
hair. And
they're
both like badass. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful hair, badass people. Jesus had people drink his blood.
That's
the communion with the
general
body. I mean, I can see the connection there.
But he had you go through some of the
details. Jesus drink any of his own blood?
I mean, at one point, possibly. He was a wild guy.
All right.
Yeah. No, he was just
hanging around
like,
with a bunch of...
I can't believe that these guys are drinking my blood. Oh.
This is fucking great. I'm feeling a little dizzy over here. Like Matthew Lillard at the end of Scream.
I'm fucking dying.
I'm getting woozy, man. Jesus, maybe you should stop serving everybody your blood. You need that to live. Oh, shit, man. I thought my dad was God, man. Oh.
Well, Marcus,
a real fat dude just comes in. May I have more blood, please?
Oh, you gotta be kidding me,
Henry! You're killing me, Henry! You're killing me, Henry!
Marcus Wesson loved vampires so much that he gave himself and his children vampire names.
Okay.
Yeah.
His vampire name was J. Vam Mark Seuss Pire.
He sounds like a fashion designer. That's not a name.
And some of his children's vampire names, Jeva St. Vladin Spivery.
Vladin Spivery?
Vladin Spivspree.
Yeah.
That's
I'm going to give myself a vampire name.
Okay, what are you going to go with?
Count Chocula.
That's already been taken, I think, by the Nestle Corporation. Or the,
and he started going with the saints, Marshy St. Christopher, Ethan St. Laurent, Sedona Vadra.
They just sound French.
Yeah, they all sound really French.
He just read Anne Rice.
Yeah.
Too much.
Well, he started way back in the day in 1974 when he married a woman named Elizabeth, who was 13 years his senior. He married a woman named Rose Solorio, who was 13 years her senior and already had 8 children herself.
Yeah, he just married this old woman for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's for the kids.
Yeah, but then when Solorio's daughter Elizabeth was 14 and Wesson was 27, he decided he needed a little bit of that young action and impregnated her.
Yeah.
Which was the first of many children that he impregnated. And he just started fucking all over the place.
So I forgot like what it was and stuff. He said that when he was having sex with them, he's like, I'm just giving you some love and I'm giving you some
love. That's what they say.
That's what they always say.
Yeah.
He's just saying that I'm bringing you closer to me. And
no one ever loved me that much.
Nope. No one ever wanted
you're
to touch
still
you.
So bitter about that.
So it sounds like he was just your run-of-the-mill pedophile. What separates himself? What makes him a vampire?
Well, he is not. That's the thing about it is that he himself did not believe that he was a vampire. He was merely obsessed with him. But continuing on with the story is that he started taking his brood all around the California area. They lived on a tugboat for a while.
That's kind of fun.
Is he the world's greatest dad?
Yeah. They lived in an army tent out in the woods.
That's fun.
For a little while.
Tell them you're camping.
Until they finally settled on a school bus in front of a commercial building.
Well, they're just kind of
a weird family.
Yeah.
That's the odd
Would you love to be the 17-year-old working at the Blockbuster the day and the manager goes, it's like, Jeffrey, could you go tell that school bus to leave? You need to go out there and you need to tell them to stop parking that school bus outside. You know, I can't do it. I'm too busy labeling tapes.
This is 17-year-old going up to be like, excuse me, Mr. I know that you're a vampire family, but if you could move your mobile home, that would be really great for us.
Well, he owned the commercial space, but he preferred the school bus. And then the cops came and said, listen, man, you can't live in a school bus.
You can't live in a school
bus. You got to go inside.
Well, the thing is that they
Why
said
can't
that
you live in a school bus?
It's not that you can't live in a school bus, because obviously you can.
Yeah.
Because they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know, but you shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, it's a bus. It's not a house.
Well, they're a vampire family. They have different needs.
I mean, yeah. It would be fun. This bus is not a house.
Yeah.
This bus is not a house.
And then
she runs out and she slowly slams the door, but like it's the school bus door.
And so when they moved into the house, that is when I really want to just say his full name, Javam Marksus Pire.
Uh huh.
That's when he decided it was time to go looking for coffins.
Because
Oh, okay.
He bought a bunch of coffins because he was also it was the same thing. It was like the Koresh thing where it's like, you know, when the shit comes down, everyone's got to kill themselves. And you want to tell the rest of the story?
Yeah. He had strict instructions to the kids or to his younger, or to all of his kids. Like, all right, you shoot the one youngest to you.
Okay.
And yeah, they all had guns.
Yeah.
And they also dressed in like burka outfits.
But then the youngest one lives.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Well, they went on like this for years. He would wait until the kids were 8 or 9 before he started molesting them. First,
Give him a breather.
Give him a little bit of time before. Yeah. And they were his adoring geishas. They washed his dreadlocks, and he had some gnarly dreadlocks.
Okay.
They scratched his armpits and belly and did his beckoning.
Man, you know.
Sounds like a dream world for you, Henry.
It just sounds nice.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound that bad.
And he justified all of this. He would read them passages from the Bible in which a man would take multiple wives, and he'd tell them, God wants a man to have more than one wife. But he didn't say anything about, you know, children, of course.
I mean, not his own children.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And they were, of course, and he was fascinated with David Koresh when that whole thing was going down. They were just glued to the TV. And, you know, he was saying, like, this is how the world is attacking God's people. This man is just like me. He is making children for the Lord. And that's what we should be doing, making children for the Lord.
Yeah.
So two of these kids escaped.
Okay.
Two of them escaped. They got the fuck out of there, but they left their incest babies.
You just go out of the emergency exit? Just in the back of the bus? Just like hit that?
And they left their kids behind. Some of their incest babies, they left them behind.
Okay.
So there were rumors going around that Javam Marksus Pire was going to be taking the whole family to Washington. So these two women went to the house and they said, "Give me back my kids."
Yeah, for a real stinky bus. Yeah,
it's like the movie Mr. Smith goes to Washington,
right?
But with a vampire incest-ridden family.
I like his filibustering skills.
Oh, of course.
When he fucked his 9-year-old in front of us, we knew Santa was real. Mm-hmm. All the letters.
So she goes. These two women go to the house. They team up and they go and confront Wesson and they say, "We want our children back."
Sure.
And it starts to be this big to-do, so the cops get called.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts, you know, and
he's... Yeah, temperatures are running high, you know. He's been fucking everybody for years. Yep.
And he's staying calm, stone-faced the entire time, and then suddenly he just backs away and slams the door. The cops don't have any... They say that they don't have any probable cause to go into the house.
And they're like, he be fucking us!
Yeah, and this is another... This is a definite cop incompetence story and cops trying to cover their ass because a neighbor said that she heard gunshots. But the cops say, we didn't hear anything. We didn't hear any gunshots.
Well, that was the thing. They were also doing one of those silent disco things. So they were all really into that where they're all wearing the headphones and just listening to the same song, but no one can hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had to go back to their cars and go to the grocery store, get your garlic, get your cross. I mean, this is a very dangerous vampire type personality we're dealing with.
You get some garlic, so you get some basil, you get some pine nuts.
Next thing you know, you're just having stew with the guy. They bonded over a great, great onion soup.
And so about 45 minutes later, Wesson comes back to the door, and he's just covered in blood. One of the cops freaks out. Now it's probable cause. One of the cops runs past him, and he goes into the back room, and he finds 9 bodies stacked upon each other from youngest to oldest, youngest being 1, oldest being 25.
Okay.
And it is said that the oldest, her name was, let's see here, Sabrina. Her name was Sabrina Wesson, or Sabrina April Wesson, 25.
What was her vampire name?
April.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was the oldest, so it was before
she
he really.
She was the first one.
She was
really
the first one.
Around.
So
vampire. Yeah. Your name is Vampire.
April. April Vampire.
And there were 9 kids, all stacked from youngest to oldest, with Sabrina on top. They had all been shot in the eye once. And this, in the prosecution, this is a case that is very similar to Charles Manson, because Wesson's DNA was not on the gun. The DNA on the gun was Sabrina. The gunpowder was on her hands. But because of the testimony from his other daughters that it escaped, the first-degree murder charge was put on Wesson.
I mean, it definitely should have been.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody you know? Was dead, though, right?
Yeah, everybody was dead. And there were all kinds of weird things going on. Like, he had a son, and some of the kids just started getting pregnant, and they just told him, like, oh, yeah, we went down to the sperm bank and grabbed some sperm.
Oh, yeah, just said we
and
got
we got
sperm,
inseminated. And
sperm in
there's a sperm bank robber on the loose.
That's what I've been wanting I've to do for that. My daughters, is just get them randomly pregnant with a bunch of loose sperm I got in the clinic.
And and the women, even after he killed their children, the women, when they testified, they were like, you know, I totally understand what he did. Like, I don't. And one of them almost didn't testify because she said, I don't want him to be mad at me.
Oh, Christ. He would be mad. He will be mad. Yeah.
This guy needs to run for president.
Everybody wants to make him happy.
Yeah, it's true.
Instead of a good president.
Yeah, and one of the women, you know, after she left, you know, she started seeing some of these girls get pregnant, and her excuse of why she didn't ask who the fathers were, she said that her own mother had 10 kids with 3 different men, and her sister had 7 children with various men, and she considered it, quote, mean and rude to ask about fathers.
It's a family tradition.
Yeah, it is.
It's not
Jesus
bad.
Christ.
Boy, the state of America.
So,
lucky fathers,
this wasn't that long ago. This was, what,
this was
2004. 2005?
This was 2004. When he killed all these kids.
Yeah, so that's right around the corner. It's still happening, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So that as soon as I heard that story, I was like, hee-hee-hee.
You were
because
thrilled.
That's what I do. I love stories like that. I was like, oh, vampires. It's like a vampires. And there is a bunch of them.
Did he drink their blood at all? He just gave them the
name.
No,
he was just into
vampires. Far with the vampire.
No, but he gave them vampire names.
Yeah, but
that's technically farther than the other ones
it's
went.
Slightly farther than not. But
in terms of building like a story bible, you know what I mean? In terms of like if he were to pitch that show to television,
right?
Great reality television show.
It is a wonderful
vampire family.
Show.
Vampire family. They all sleep in coffins
and they'll fuck each other
a lot.
You get all the bed cams in there, and daddy comes up to the 9-year-old.
Oh no, they didn't fuck each other. Wesson was the only one getting laid in that house. He separated the girls from the boys so they would not have sexual thoughts about each other.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. Put him in a big house in South Beach.
Sure.
Man, that's a great idea. Give him a bar, get him drunk every once in a while, see what happens.
Mm-hmm. See, that's one thing that parents are missing these days is that children do fuck each other and they need to be separated.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily always happening, and I don't think your dad is always a vampire either.
Not always.
But it can't happen. All right. So now we're on the vampire thought, and that led you down a bizarre rabbit hole, did it not, Henry?
A rabbit hole that I'll never leave.
You have to get out of it.
Yeah.
Immediately get out of
you
it.
You really need to leave.
Blah, blah.
No.
I feel like that would make one of these vampires truly kill. Like, truly scary if he walked around going like, I'm a vampire.
Blah.
So the first one I want to talk about. So I got deep into research last night. Watching this documentary on this guy, Richard Chase, which we're going to get to, who is a demon who walked the earth for a little while.
A true
Do you want to go through clinical vampirism first?
Yes.
All right. Clinical vampirism, also known as Renfield syndrome, is an actual diagnosable disease that psychologists do believe in. And they say what it comes from is that there is usually an event that happens before or during puberty where the child is excited in a sexual way by some event that involves blood injury or the ingestion of blood. At puberty, it becomes fused with sexual fantasies, and the typical person with Renfield syndrome begins with auto-vampirism, meaning they began to drink their own blood and then move on to other living creatures. They usually start with animals, of course, like all serial killers
do. Is it bad that I'm hard?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No. 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 I disagree.
Normal.
I disagree.
It is bad.
It's bad.
I thought I'm more open-minded than you are.
It's.
I'm
a prude. What can I say? I'm a prude.
I just want to meet the kid who just like constantly falls off his bike so he.
I just
always
don't know
injures himself.
Like with everybody else, it's just sometimes I just want to cut open a cow's head and just put my dick in it.
You know what I mean?
That's fine.
Yeah, but do you drink the blood?
No. That's
then you are not a vampire, sir.
Oh damn it!
You're just running the mill.
Yeah. You're a cow head fucker.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
So last night I'm deep into research, and I know this has happened to me.
Oh, is that it for this medical thing?
Hmm?
That's it for the medical
thing? Oh, yeah. Well, it comes from Renfield, of course, the famous character from
Dracula.
From Dracula, who eats spiders and flies in order to gain their life force.
Okay.
He thinks he's a vampire. He sucks up to Dracula.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, he's just a kiss ass.
Yeah.
He's like the split cider for Dracula.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's been a lot of news about this Jason Collins, this NBA basketball player, coming out as gay, but the vampire has been openly gay for a very long time.
Well, I mean, yeah. Openly I flashy. They're more like David Bowie. They're pansexual.
Yeah.
Pansexual. But
like
I'm
me.
Saying,
in fact, it was.
Where's the LGBT community coming out in love of the vampire?
I mean, it was said that Marcus Wesson was abused as a young boy, and that one childhood friend said that his father once paid him $50 to suck his cock.
Well, that's just commerce.
That's
making
American
jobs.
Things.
You know, like these are people, like they need
it's
to be
American
in the workforce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, there was the 70s. There was a recession going on.
Yeah,
different
you got gas prices,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Rush is huge.
Getting blood all over your bell bottoms. It's a rough time to be alive.
So last night I just wanted to tell a quick story. I was walking down the street. I had been researching serial killers for hours. I'm going to say I had been smoking weed.
You were smoking a lot of weed. So you're
going to
say it because you were.
In terms for the story.
Right.
Okay. I had been smoking weed for hours.
Oh,
I was
now
walking
you're protecting yourself?
No.
Like a Senate run in 20 years?
I was walking down the street. This dude was walking in front of me. He stopped dead in his tracks.
Mm-hmm. Scary looking guy.
Yeah. You know, normal guy. Guy. I look at him. He stops. As I walk past, he, like, backs up, right?
Uh-oh.
And, like, trails me as I'm walking past him. I watch him reach into his jacket pocket,
mm-hmm.
and I turn around and go, like, what are you doing? Like,
what happened?
Him. And he, oh, he freaked out, and he was taking out an inhaler
yeah.
out of his jacket, and he dropped it on the street.
Almost killed a man. Oh. You almost just killed a man.
I got him
you're
good.
A paranoid psychopath.
No one's going to fucking get me.
No one is.
Richard Temple the Chase is not going to get me.
No. He's in prison.
So
or dead.
He's dead.
He's dead.
They put him to death. So first I'm going to talk about Andre Chikatilo. Andre Chikatilo, I'm going to do this because he's definitely the most famous of the
Chikatilo family.
Chikatilo.
No doubt.
He's Russian. He is a monster.
Okay.
He was a guy that he was active from 1978 to 1990.
Mm-hmm.
He was called, you know, the Vampire of Dusseldorf and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. You know, he was
yeah.
the Roster killer. Like he's the butcher of Roster, Germany. He was a guy who killed 53 young girls in a 12-year span.
In Dusseldorf.
In Dusseldorf.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the land of big cups.
I know it.
Love
it
in Germany. That's how I'll remember it from now on. It's just like it's big tits and lots of beer.
Yeah. It must be tough being a vampire in Dusseldorf, though, because all the girls, they don't have blood. They're filled with chocolate.
Mm.
You know, they're just filled with
God.
Lovely.
Oh, yeah. You're sending me into a fucking fever dream.
Yeah, bro. That would be very good for you.
You spent this entire episode hard.
Yeah. I spent all night hard.
Hard as the Dickens.
Yeah. So Andre Chikatilo, a horrible madman. He was at the age of 11, basically.
Okay.
What I'm finding with a lot of these guys that I research is that they could not achieve erection when with women.
Okay.
And so that fact would drive them nuts. And so this guy, when he was 13, it got so he realized that he could not get hard. And so he got more and more frustrated. And so the sort of like turning point for him was that he was in 17. He grabbed an 11-year-old girl, forced her to the ground. And as he was struggling with her, he came all over him.
That's the ticket.
And he's just like, ah,
Eureka.
I got a golden ticket.
Intriguing. This whole time I was trying
Willy
to figure
Bonka's
out the lock
chocolate factory.
Cock.
And
that's
so
good. Willy Bonker's chocolate factory?
Yeah. That's where you go fuck all the chocolate. So
that
he discovered,
great.
So he became, so naturally he went to college to be a teacher in public school. He was a teacher for public school for 10 years until they stopped him because apparently, you know, people had been complaining for literally the entire time that he was a teacher, that he was molesting kids.
Sure. And how old was he teaching there? How old were the kids?
They were elementary school.
Elementary,
they were young kids.
Good.
Young kids.
Perfect.
And so then he got fired eventually. Russia, it takes time. Once the things start whirring, once the gears start whirring, then things start happening for them.
Right, so it's a lot of bureaucracy.
Yes.
Sure. I mean,
did you read Kafka?
No.
Every day. Every day, man.
Does it come in one of those, like, what was it, a bubble yum? Like, fucking
yeah, yeah. I just, yeah. Every book I read slowly comes to me through Laffy Taffy wrappers. So. I love punny books and different sort of funny sayings.
So Andre, I'm just going to go ahead and call my friend Andre.
Yeah.
He was always doing that, you know, like the movie Dinner with Andre.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but it was always just like a 12-year-old girl and he was chewing her tits off.
Okay.
Both groundbreaking. You know? Both of them. Yeah. So, the movie, the killer.
So he started killing young boys and prostitutes and young girls in 1978, like once he had become a supply clerk. And what he would do is he would take a train. He'd go out of town. He would find like a small little place outside of Roster. He would normally, he said that he would, I mean, with prostitutes and homeless women,
sure.
He would give them money and or like promise them a job or something. And with like little kids, it's always like,
I mean,
I don't know
if you need to promise a prostitute a job. She's already at work. She's,
yeah. Well, I mean, he would do
a better job.
I guess so.
It's standard Bundy thing where he'd like lie to them and be like, "I'll take you out of this life. I'll do all this stuff," so they're all happy and shit.
Yeah.
So he can pretend like he's on a date for a second, or that he has a little girl or a little boy, and then he'd take him out to a woods. Eventually, he bought his own little house out in this one section of woods.
Mm-hmm.
He'd take him out there. He'd try to rape them. Like, he was setting himself up. He'd try to rape them. He couldn't get a hard on, so he'd bugger out. And he'd cut him open, like he'd stab him a bunch,
and then
he'd
cut
him open.
Get hard.
And the big thing with him is that he'd cum all in their insides, like he'd stick their dick in like their organs and cum up on their organs, and then like he would like play with their organs, and like the big thing is that he would drink the blood, and he said just because it's the only thing that made him hard, and so it's like he became to become a vampire because that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And the one interesting like factoid about his murders is that he used to pluck the eyes out of his victims because there was an old Russian like folklore that murder victims, that the last thing that they see, the vision is burnt on their eyes.
Yeah.
So he'd pop out the eyes. That also makes just makes a creepier looking corpse.
Oh, it does. I mean, it's a real Little House in the Crazy situation here. I think what a bizarre revelation when you find out that you can only come to the insides of people's bodies. I mean,
how do I feel when I'm only happy when I'm eating fried chicken?
It's weird.
That's really hard walking around.
It'd be nice if you liked broccoli.
Why am
you just
I
don't
sad?
Like it.
Why am I sad, man?
I don't know, dude.
Oh, it's sweet dripping oil.
Mm.
Now I'm happy. So he used to go and he did this 53 times.
53?
For over 12 years, he would change up where he was going. It was always the same thing. It was
so
like
not always in Düsseldorf.
Not always in Düsseldorf. And then he would like, he'd rip their breasts off with their teeth. He would like, he'd go, whenever he had a little boy, he'd cut his dick and balls off and suck on it and throw it in the woods. He'd like, find them all chewed up and stuff.
Like
and
a crawfish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you do all this like weird shit.
Suck
like,
the heads.
I suck the heads.
Yeah.
So he did all of this, and for years and years, finally they were like, you know, we have to figure out how to trap this guy. They arrested two people.
They cared enough.
All of the police work is ridiculous. They said they arrested two people in terms for different separate versions of the crime, like different, like one of the murders and stuff. They executed one guy for the murder of another girl.
Whoa.
That he confessed to later on. And so finally, the way they caught him is they had this thing called the snare. Russia's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Russia's really great.
And you know what? It's good to know that it's not just America that has hot dog squads running around.
No,
hot dog squads.
You know, Russia's got them too.
I watched that
sauerkraut squads. Yeah.
I survived BTK, and they interviewed a member of the hot dog squad, and you know why they never caught BTK? He's retarded.
Yeah.
And
he's just like, well, you know, I was just. I saw him out the corner of my eye, and he was running down the street, and I just, there was a shoe sale.
I was a stock, bought some shoes, and by the time I got my new shoes, he was gone, and I want to run him anyway. But no, he literally said, before he met BTK, they were talking to him, he's like, I can't judge a man I'd never met. I can't judge him. They're like, so what, you think he's
fuck
like,
you.
He's like, I just never met him, can't judge him. He's like, he is a murderer, he just raped and murdered an entire family.
It's just a cop with no motivation.
I mean, you can just judge him a little bit.
Yeah,
just
you
a small
of course.
Of judgment.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because you want a hard-boiled cop that's smoking a cigarette and just saying, like, we're going to bring this animal to justice.
Yeah. This guy was not like that.
Yeah.
No, it's not like, well, you know, everybody's got a hat on.
What? Just join the force for the donuts.
What did you We've all got our own hat. We've all got our own hats to wear.
So,
all
right, let me just quickly. Yeah. So the snare, the way they got him is that they would, to all the major, they were like, well, he's killing people along train lines.
Okay.
So they put up in all of these different major places, they put up these really highly decorated cops, like in full, like fancy uniforms at all the train stations except for two. And then they started waiting for him. Then they saw this guy that matched the descriptions everyone was talking about. He walked into the forest. He came out, and they said he came out, and he was bleeding, and the cop stopped him, took his papers, and he's just like, well, on your way, and they let him go, you know, and then the next day they found three bodies in the woods where he just was. They just let him go. He had done it to a 17-year-old boy. He was his last person he murdered, and the little boy bit his whole fingernail off, the whole front side of his finger, just like literally ripped it off with his teeth. And so in the trial, so now finally they get him to confess and the whole thing happens.
Hey, Lieutenant, do you think that was him? Like, do you think that was the serial killer? Did we just like let...
What?
I feel like he was just like covered in blood.
There's a shoe sale.
All right.
There is shoe line. I will get in line for shoe.
I will get in line for shoe. I heard they have wood shoe now.
It just seems like a bizarre Chris Farley moment in a comedy where the train's departing.
No! So he goes, when he's in prison, so the big thing with him is that they had to put him in an iron cage when they put him in court, and it was him just like singing and screaming. It's like, I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire, like smashing his head against the thing, and
that's fun.
They put him to death. Yeah,
they did put him. But you don't get that fun show in American prisons. You know, we never bring somebody out in a cage, treat him like a Hannibal Lecter type character in real life.
No, we have to be all, you know, we have to be nice.
I mean,
it's all about optics here.
Yeah. I mean, the most we've got, and he's a Russian as well. The most that we've had is Maxim Galman that went on that killing spree here in New York.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, he told the judge to suck his Russian dick.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about a courtroom performance, Richard Ramirez, I mean, that's really used his time wisely.
Manson did that really well, too.
Symphonies, I like that.
Yeah.
Saw a great interview with Ramirez yesterday, and also saw a fun interview with Ed Kemper. I really like the Kemp.
This is what I was saying to
Big
you.
Big Kemp.
He's like you.
Nice guy. Everybody's got mommy issues.
Oh,
holy Lord. Feminism is what caused the death of all those girls. Kemper's mother, a raging feminist.
That's what he said.
No.
Hot button issue on here.
Jezebel's going to be all over this podcast.
Yeah, Babble. All of the blogs that everybody loves so much.
I got a vampire that had some grandmommy issues.
Yeah.
And he had a kill count of one, but he is worth mentioning. His name was James P. Riva.
Oh,
he was a guy that was
Riva!
He was in Massachusetts.
He is fun.
And unlike a lot of these other guys, he was not motivated by sex whatsoever. He was just a paranoid schizophrenic. And in April of 1980, he painted four bullets gold. So he had four golden bullets.
That's cool.
And shot his handicapped grandmother twice as she sat in her wheelchair.
Scarface.
And then
she
drank.
She might have been shitting in her wheelchair as well. So I think you could say shat in her wheelchair.
And then he drank the warm blood gushing from the wounds before trying to cover her tracks by burning her body and her home.
Is it wrong that I felt more disgusted that she's all old? Old blood?
Well, that's what he said. He said he was a 700-year-old vampire and that he had gained no sustenance from her whatsoever because she was too old and dried up.
Yeah.
And he believed from a young age that his grandmother was a vampire predator who was robbing him of blood as he slept. And he believed that his only hope was in shooting her with the golden bullets. And the man, I mean, he was completely fucked up throughout his entire life.
But he just painted them gold. I mean, they're not real gold.
No, he just painted them gold.
So you can't just paint something in silver and then pretend like that would kill a vampire or gold.
I mean, a guy like that isn't going to have a high-paying job that would facilitate golden
bullets.
Yeah,
getting the gold bullets, because I think that's the only thing that drug dealers have.
You've got to meet a leprechaun, number one. Befriend it, number two, and then
you have to get
steal
your hands
bullets.
On some gold.
Yeah.
Like, first of all.
He right. believed he was satisfying his masters and superiors in the netherworld by making a human kill. He thought that if he killed, quote,
like my boss Satan on your pretty face is going to hell. Thursdays at midnight in Adult Swim.
Yeah, very nice. He thought that if he killed, quote, everybody who was bad to him, he would come back as a handsome man and have a car and girls and life would be fine.
That's just what his grandmother told him his entire life. That's amazing.
That's like what I say to myself about my comedy career. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's all I want. You know, it's just like, one day I'll have, you know, a fancy car.
Oh my God. I'm going to come back as a real boy and girls are going to like me. I'll have different friends. Maybe they're attractive, successful.
Do you want to talk about Mr.?
Oh, one more interesting fact about James Riva. Converted to Islam in prison.
Oh, yo, hey, that's disgusting.
And he also believed that afterwards the vampires would, quote, throw a party for him.
Oh, tell me, though. I'd love to go to a vampire party just being like,
my God.
What's all about? The juice?
It's just Dracula playing the Transylvania Twist.
They did the
monster mash.
No, it was just kind of weird. Turns out they're all just a bunch of nerds. Yeah. I really thought it was going to be a cool party.
And the thing is, this guy is completely sane now in prison. They got him on medications. He's repentant. Like, he knows.
You know,
he knows exactly what he did.
He killed his grandmother, who was going to die in 7 months anyway.
I don't know. At the same time, it's the thought process that went into it.
It is.
You know, and it's different if she was just like, make you beg, James! Make you beg! Like, if she was, like, screaming every day, and then you just want to bend it, like, and one day you just, like, fucking wrap a plastic bag around her head and just, like, I'm gonna die, Grandma!
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Everything's okay, Henry.
And they took him off medication once, and then he attacked a guard because he thought he was sneaking into his cell at night and draining his spinal fluid.
Yeah.
But he was denied
parole. What if he's right? We don't know this.
What if all of this is true?
It's so possible.
They're just sitting at the party with him. It's like, where's James, Dracula? I don't know where to start.
No, we don't have to talk about my guy was just, check him out, Arthur Shawcross from Rochester, New York. He killed a bunch of prostitutes. The one story that I like the most about him is there's a bunch of undercover cops working the prostitute beat. He dressed exactly like all of them, and then the undercover cops, thinking that he was an undercover cop, would just come and tell him all the information.
That's amazing.
And then he would just be like, but they didn't know they were talking to the killer. And he just, like, blinks, and he's just a really weird dude. Major mommy issues with him as well. But Arthur Shawcross, there's some. He's a good prostitute killer, but relatively run-of-the-mill when it comes to victims.
I also just want to do, like, let me just quickly go over. This guy is one of the most disgusting serial killers I've ever heard of in my life. This was the guy I was researching right before I attacked the man on the street last night.
The asthmatic man on the street.
The man who could have had a gun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Never fucking gonna get me.
No.
Richard Templeton Chase. Richard Templeton Chase was operating during the over only a couple of weeks in the late 1970s. In
a couple of weeks, that's it.
That's it. It was very quick.
Oh my.
He was a guy.
It was a month.
Yes, he was very, very nuts. This guy was fucking cuckoo for fucking Cocoa Puffs. This guy was, so like a lot of the stories, you know, he just grew up strange. It was very weird, didn't really have any friends.
Victim of abuse at the hands of his mother.
Yeah, but they were always saying, well, I was watching a couple of docs on him and they were both saying that, you know, it's like nothing above standard for the time. He was born in 1950. People were beating their kids all the time.
Oh,
everybody beat their kids.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, he was like, all right. He was like a normal kid, except for, like, he'd start, you know, murdering cats, like, real bad.
Sure,
you know,
standard.
Like, he'd murder the cats and stuff. And the big thing he discovered, again, is that he could not get an erection, and it fueled his rage.
Not even killing the cats.
That's what started triggering it later on when he started drinking their blood. And literally, it's just more of a case of neglect, where the first case was... Mom comes home, like, literally, standard Irish Catholic house, where it's just, like, no one says anything about what's going on.
The front door's in the back, and the back door's in the front. Everything is upside down. You poop in the sink?
Yes.
Okay.
And so he went through the same thing with James Riva. He went through a weird sort of psychotic breakdown where he started believing his stomach was upside down, that he thought he thought that his nerve system was going nuts, and blood was draining out of him. He he was just he's just losing his mind. He was like, so
he held oranges to his head because he believed the vitamin C was absorbed into his brain through diffusion.
So he's having fun. Essentially, he's like a Jonathan Winters.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jonathan Winters. I was honestly gonna or a Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes,
it sounds like a Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Similar
role.
To me.
Yeah.
Yes. In many respects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the first sign of neglect was they came home. His mom came home one day, and they found, you know, little Richard's up in his room. So where's Richard?
Where's the oranges?
He goes up to his room, and he's in there, and he's just sucking on a cat's guts. He's covered in blood. He's totally naked. He's sucking on a cat's guts. She, like, opens the door, closes the door. Just, you know,
real
just
slow,
even just
yeah.
lets it, just ignores it. Doesn't say anything. Next thing that happens is that he goes missing for a day. Mm-hmm. Cops are just kind of driving around. They see an abandoned pickup truck out in the middle of an Indian reservation, out in the, like the thing. And they see it's stuck in the mud. Mm-hmm. They go up to it. The whole truck's covered in blood, and the back of it is a bucket. And in a bucket's a liver. And they're like, "Oh fuck, what's happening?" They look out. There's a trail of blood out into the desert. Out on top of a mountain, like 100 yards away, is a naked man. Jumping up and down, covered in blood. He's covered in blood, just going like, woo, 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 woo. And then he books it. They finally get him. They arrest him. They're like, okay. They look at the liver. It's a cow's liver. And so they're like, well, we can't process him for any crime, so we're just going to let him go.
Yeah.
So they let him go. You know, so he gets out, you know, and
so
he's
there's
back in the
house. There's some red flags here, though, you might want to be aware
so
of.
So the next thing he starts doing, he starts realizing is that, like, that's what was giving him sexual excitement, was cutting up things. Mm-hmm. So people started reporting a mysterious man in their backyard watching them through their windows.
Okay.
Like a really tall, lanky guy with long beard and long hair, just, like, looking through their windows.
Hey, it's Howard Stern! It's Howard Stern, Baba Booey, Baba Booey!
Oh, man!
Yeah, he's doing shit.
NBC!
He's doing bits! He's doing bits!
So the next thing that happens is that he gets he gets interrupted. He starts breaking into houses and looking through people's stuff.
Okay.
Finally, he gets interrupted while he's in the middle of he's broken a person's house. They see him. They run out. He runs away.
Yeah.
And they go up to their baby's room, and they find that he has pissed inside of all the baby's clothing drawers and has taken a dump in the crib. Right? He's just, you know, at this point, you know, he's really just, this is top 10 hits. This guy.
He's either a vampire, a serial killer, or pledging a fraternity.
Next thing that happens is that a dude randomly gets shot in the street. It's a guy, a drive-by shooting. It was
anything
an old man
him?
In the car. It was him. He drove past.
Oh, I see.
That was his first victim.
That was his first victim. Well, you find out basically, he's very different from a lot of all of these other guys because he shoots his victims. That's how he kills them.
Sure.
And so he did that the next day.
Did he drain this man's blood or he just drove
no,
off?
No, he just shot him in the head. And they're like, okay, you should get some random thrill kill. Next day.
I never understand the point of the drive-by.
It's just to shoot people.
Yeah.
Don't you want to be around the warfare?
It's street warfare. Yeah. It's urban Shakespeare.
I just feel like you don't get anything out of it. You don't see them die. You know, your image is
it's
the last
thing
they
see. It's not
what
it's about. It's not about that.
All right.
Well, so the next day, I forget the name of his second victim.
Veronica.
Teresa.
Teresa was a...
Teresa Wallen.
She was a pregnant woman who had come into her house and found that he had broken her house. He shot her in the head. And then he proceeded to, when they come to show up, and they said that it was like literally all these guys, like police officers coming in and being like, I walked in and I threw up when I saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Whole kitchen covered in blood. He had carved open her stomach and took out the fetus. Had obviously been playing with the fetus like he's a dog. Went through all her intestines and all her livers and like went through all her organs. Pulled them out. They were all splayed all over the kitchen.
Sure.
There was a bunch of stuff missing. And they found all these cups that he had taken from the cupboard that had blood residue because he'd obviously been
he's playing beer pong.
Yeah.
Yeah, blood
yeah,
pong.
With their stuff.
Do
and
eyes
with their
bounce?
Blood.
Yeah, you can bounce an eye.
So
yeah,
that's the first one. And so they were like, you know, this is bad. You know?
He's
a couple
like a
of days
of
later.
So the drive-by and now this?
This thing. Well, because he's just getting, it's ramping up and ramping up.
Yeah.
And his major crime was.
The fetus
day,
wasn't the major crime?
No.
Whoa.
The major crime was they find, it was like only a couple of days later. Like, we need to clamp down on this guy. He has broken into a house. I forget the name of the family.
He entered the home of 38-year-old Evelyn Miroth and encountered her friend Danny Meredith.
Yes. He shot Danny in the head.
All right.
Right? And shot her in the head. And then apparently also she had a five-year-old kid that she shot and he shot in the head and cut it up. And then he cut up Evelyn, played with her guts.
Oh, don't forget the 22-year-old nephew.
Yes.
So he shot them all in the head.
The 22 month is what happened. Is that like basically where they discovered this crime, it was just blood all over the house. And he had filled an entire bathtub with blood that he had drained up into the bathtub. The bathtub was filled and brimmed with blood. He had been playing with it. It's all over the place.
Do you think at one point he ducked his head underneath the blood and then came out and he spit a little blood out of his
mouth? Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he's got a rubber ducky. He's got a big like, you know, like a thing, a cap on, and he's washing his back like he's in a fucking Looney Tunes cartoon.
Waddle dee, waddle dee.
His little hair net on.
He's really crazy. He's going like, hey.
Well, listen to this. Isn't this a bit of an adventure? Like saying stuff like that to himself in the mirror, you know? Yeah.
This is wild stuff.
This is wild stuff.
So basically they realized it was like, well, she also had a 22-month-old baby. The baby was missing.
Okay.
And so through various, the guy did no attempt to cover up his tracks. People saw him do a bunch of, like, people saw him all over the place. And so they found him at his apartment. When he opened up the door, he, of course, you know, sprinted. They finally got him. He had a gun on him. They were trying to get him, and they walked into his house. His apartment was literally covered from floor to ceiling in blood, all over the walls, all over his couch, like all over the thing. There was a blender filled with organs. It was all this stuff. They didn't find the 22-month-old until a month after his arrest. No, it wasn't in there. They found it headless in a garbage can next to a church, drained of blood.
Okay.
So that was his blood ammo.
Chupacabra.
So it's like.
So, they didn't take out the trash at the church for a month?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, these fucking priests.
Yeah.
Priests love to see it. They went out there, they were probably beating off on it, just thanking their fucking pitiful God that they did it for them. Oh, Ipagora.
That's not bad.
But that's the story of Richard Templeton Chase, the vampire of Sacramento. Yeah.
Sacramento. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that creeped me out.
Boy, I'm telling you, man.
Definitely needs a little bit more street cred. No one knows about this.
He's a real wackadoo.
He is a wackadoo.
They put him to death.
Oh, naturally. Uh-huh. How was his courtroom situation? Did they bring him in a cage?
He was fairly quiet. He was basically just being like, guys, I lost control of my emotions.
Mm. 1 month, you know. Hey, you're gonna hold it against me my entire life. I had a bad month. You never had a bad month. Couldn't pay bills on time. Maybe your car insurance is lapsing.
I just wanted to take a bubble bath with a toddler's blood.
Yeah. So.
And he also thought that Nazis and UFOs were after him, and that's why he killed, to keep the Nazis and the UFOs away.
He had a lot of excuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean.
He's being a real Robin Williams.
Yeah. And again, if he's right?
And this guy, Robert Ressler, he had a series of interviews with him. He was a journalist, came and talked to Chase. And at one point, Chase just reached into his pockets, pulled out a bunch of macaroni and cheese, and then handed it to him. And he said, this is the macaroni and cheese that the Nazis are trying to kill me with. So why don't you take that? He didn't get put to death. He committed suicide.
Really?
Yeah, he had been saving up all these antidepressants that they were giving him in prison, took them all at once, overdosed.
You know what? That makes me feel fine.
That's fine, yeah.
I mean, he needed to go.
Yeah. He didn't die from the
magic.
And
all the other prisoners were terrified of him.
Of course.
Like
they- oh, yeah,
oh, but you're the vampire of Sacramento.
Like,
so what are you in here for?
Singing Jungle Book, playing with the toilet water. Oh, look, it's raining, everybody. Throwing the toilet water up like, woo! It's just like, I'm a lovely bride. He's got a thing made out of toilet paper, a whole dress and veil out of toilet paper. Like, who's going to marry this lucky lady?
Hootie boo.
Oh, drop the soap again. Oh, you're in the bloods? Oh, that reminds me of what I used to drink. Give me your blood.
Let me get some of your blood.
You guys fucking notice that white dude's crazy?
Are you going to eat that Salisbury steak?
Yes.
I simply adore it.
That sounds pretty great. All right. Well, I feel like we've covered a lot. We could do another whole episode on serial killers.
I mean, I've got quite a few others. I mean, they're not even really serial killers. We could do a whole episode called Dumb Shit Kids Think They're Vampires.
Yeah, of course.
Because I found a lot of those.
I mean, just vampires in general. I was finding a bunch of stuff on psychic vampires. I was listening to this Coast to Coast with this woman who says she's a psychic vampire. And she's like, I have to be very careful to make sure not to drain energy from people without them being aware of it. And she's like,
we've talked about
you just sound annoying. Yeah, you're just annoying.
Yeah.
No. Now, I got this one kid who got obsessed with the movie Queen of the Damned, not even the book.
Is that the Aaliyah movie?
That's the Aaliyah movie.
He was obsessed with the Aaliyah movie.
He was watching it 3-4 times a day, and just couldn't get. And he was a Scottish kid too, which is weird. You don't think of Scottish
people? They have weird tastes.
Yeah. I guess so.
And then there was this this German couple.
What did he do after he watched the Aaliyah movie over and over?
He killed the friend who first gave him the Aaliyah movie.
Man, what? Never give people stuff.
Yeah. Come on, that's ridiculous.
That's what they say. You don't lend stuff. You give it.
That's right. That's right. I've heard that. All right, everybody. We will talk to you soon. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gene.
Hail me.
Ah, all right. And hail yourselves.
I want to drink your milkshake.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Guys. Magoostalations.
Magoostalations. Check out Your Pretty Faces Going to Hell Thursdays at midnight on Adult Swim. Also, will this be out this week?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't plug the roast of Henry Zebrowski, which is going to be on Sunday. So if it is out, then.
And none of you live in New York anyway.
Some of them do.
Three of them.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. All right, hail yourselves. Hail Satan. We'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye. Hey, don't get murdered by a vampire.
Try not to.
And if you are a vampire, tell us your story and why you love blood so much.
Yeah, cavecomedyradio@gmail.com.
We have to have a vampire listener, right?
Have to.
All right.
Blah.